Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Maps and Graphs. And this is an interview, so it's Chats and Graphs. As always, I am your host, Luke Swinton. I'm super excited. This is the only interview that I've gotten to do for Women's History Month. But you know what? We save the best things for, you know, the best of occasions. I'm super excited. And also, I feel like every time I've recorded this month, I've been in Gamecocks gear because, you know, it's March Madness right now. So go Dons daily. But I am joined by a very special guest, the babe with the power, your favorite, my favorite, Willa Nightingale, everybody. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm having a good day, a good Women's History Month. Absolutely. So all in all, doing pretty all right.
You know, I have been so excited to talk to you for such a long time, and I feel like your life gets more interesting as time goes by.
So I think, I'm really fortunate, I will say, but like things every year I'm like, all right, well, how do I top last year? How do I do better? What's next for me? And I've been really fortunate that they just keep unfolding in really interesting ways. So yeah, you're right.
Like, I think when I first met you, I wasn't doing wrestling yet. You had maybe got signed like a week before.
Was it like WWR? Like it was, Wrestling Revolution?
It was Full Gear 22.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so I think you had just gotten signed. I wasn't even doing anything like wrestling related yet. And like, you fast forward to now, it feels like you're one of the biggest stars in the world. And so, you know what? I think that's a really great place to start. So, like, let's talk about that. So, you know, you get signed by AEW at the end of 2022. Mm-hmm. And then I would say by the summer of the following year, you had this crazy run from Resurgence. Actually, no, I think it probably starts before then. I would really start at February when, you know, Ring of Honor really comes back on Honor Club. You and Athena had this insane match, which was the best match of the Honor Club era to that point. Then you go to, you know, Resurgence. You have this crazy tournament. Actually, I think I'm probably missing stuff in between because, I'm not going to even say dates. So you have Resurgence. You go through this tournament. You win the New Japan Strong Women's Championship. And also around that time, you compete in the Owen Hart tournament, and you face Athena on Rampage, and then you go to Korakuen Hall in Japan, you face Julia, and then you go to Forbidden Door, you face Toni Storm.
Yeah.
And then you go to Death Before Dishonor, and you face Athena, and in that time, you go from, in the manage, 6 to 8 months, from being unsigned, to being one of the only women ever to main event pay-per-views, for not just one, but two organizations. So, talk about how that feels, because it's crazy to say. So I can only imagine what it feels like to experience.
Yeah, I did recognize that I was going on this run last year that was, like, pretty wild. And I was very proud of myself when it was happening. But I didn't really think of the way that it would be perceived as being like, oh, I just got signed and now I'm doing all this stuff out of nowhere. Because obviously you mentioned names like Toni Storm and Athena as being people in AEW who I had these like awesome matches with. They come with this experience already. They're already on television elsewhere, and they come in already with that level of prestige. And I've been on the indies for like years and years and years. So in my head, I'm like, yeah, I'm also an experienced wrestler, but it's a different level. It's a different understanding of how to apply your skills. And it is really insane to think that all of that turned around so quickly for me. I think like the first match you mentioned was when I wrestled Athena the very first time for the Ring of Honor title. I remember I found out like that day that I would be wrestling her, 'cause we were doing the Ring of Honor tapings in Orlando Universal Studios at the time. And we would do like 4 tapings a day, like 4 different shows. So we do the first show. They're like, all right, we're going to have you cut this promo and challenge Athena for the title. And I was like, oh, okay. So like, I'm wrestling today. And like, she is amazing. I think that like saying that doesn't even do her justice by saying she's amazing. Like, she is probably like the best in-ring worker that we have, like, if not like top 5 for sure. And she is very charismatic, as mean as she is. Mean as she is, there is something like appealing and like that draws you in about her. So I consider myself fortunate to be able to work with her and be given the opportunity for the title. But then after the match, you know, even though I walked home empty-handed, I still felt like really proud of the match we had. I think up to that point, that was probably like my favorite match I'd had in my life. And like the next day, I did a Beyond Wrestling show in Worcester, Massachusetts. And Zack Sabre Jr. was like also on that show. And he was at the Ring of Honor tapings the night before. And he was like, that was the best babyface performance I've seen in a long, long time. And I was like, I'm going to start. I'm so excited that you said that. Thank you. And like a bunch of people in the locker room said things similar to me too. But like that was my first time really like talking to him and meeting him. So that stuck with me in my head. And I think moving forward into all those things that I did, Resurgence, Forbidden Door, and everything else that was ahead of me up to right now, that kind of set the tone in my head. Like, okay, I'm capable of doing this. I'm capable of working at this level. So don't second guess yourself. You can do it. And ultimately, like, you said it yourself. You saw what happened next. And I think there really just is that mindset of like, take a few minutes and enjoy this positive, like the good things that happen, enjoy that, and then switch and pivot to like what's next. So I'm still doing that.
Absolutely. You faced, I would say, the flat out the best women's wrestlers in the world. From Athena, Mercedes Moné, Toni Storm, Julia, in all such a short period of time. And I think what made it so special is that you didn't look out of place against these people. You know, you really held your own. And, you know, like you said, like, you know, like you might not have their experience level, but you still looked like a very capable performer during that time. And so going to, we talked about, like, you know, that early Honor Club, and then you going to Resurgence and you win. What did you feel? And that, like, you know, I feel like that was a crazy 20 to 48 hours. Like, what did that feel like? Because obviously, like, you know, people are going to say whatever they want, but I felt personally, like, I feel like that was an embodiment of the tireless work that you had been putting in for so long. And I felt like no matter how it happened, it felt like you finally got noticed in that moment, because you had been working your ass off. You still are, obviously. But what did that feel like? Because you talked about living in the moment. So did you like really let it settle in? Did you like sit? Did you get a chance to really sit in it?
At first, no. I think, like, I'm not a religious person, but I do think that everything does happen for a reason. I think the universe or whatever kind of control or power there might be, like, there are events that happen for a certain reason. And that night, I had, again, 2 matches that I was like, well, at this point, these are kind of the best matches I've had. So it's that momentum that's keep going forward. Like, you're doing good. You're doing good. You're doing good. But there is, like, this weight and pressure that is bestowed upon you anytime you win a championship. And especially beating someone like Mercedes, who I think I said in the promo after the match that I really do believe she's like the most prolific women's wrestler of our generation. And so that is also added to the weight of winning the championship. And like the crew, you know about the crew, they have very strong opinions.
Yes.
They are very vocal. So there was a piece of me, I would say, for like that whole night. And obviously because of the injury, there was like a level of like, I want her to be okay. Mm-hmm. And all of these things are happening. And I'm just like, oh my God, how do I move forward? But they put the championship belt like in my hands. You know, you raise the belt, you raise your arms, you get up in the corners. And everyone in the building that night was like chanting, you deserve it. And so no matter what was going on internally, like I couldn't help but be faced with everybody else's praise for me. And that really does mean a lot. Like I always say that like so much of what I do is pushed forward by the fans, because like I'm sharing with you right now, like I'm a human being who at the end of the day goes through my own struggles and I have my own hardships that like people never see or never know. But like having that connection with people who I may have not even ever met really does help me keep pushing forward and moving forward. And like, I couldn't ignore it that day. So no matter what I initially thought and initially felt, I was like, you got this. There are people who believe in you. There has to be some kind of reason you're in this position. You wouldn't have been put in this position in the first place if people didn't think you were capable of whatever came next. So the next day I woke up, I was in LA. I think I was ready to head back home to New York. I said, you know what? It's going to be a good day. I'm going to go see my family. I'm going to show my parents this new championship belt I have. And like the joy that they met me with was like, I melted inside. I was like, making them proud is like the greatest honor and reward of my life. Even though there are moments of self-doubt, there is a community beyond me that fills me up with hope and pride. And I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah. I feel like that moment, at least as a fan, for me, I felt like it was so special because you and Mercedes are two of like my top five like favorites ever. And then I think that one, just seeing you in the main event of New Japan Pro Wrestling, this predominantly male organization, women in the main event, period. Then you have Black women in the main event. And then two, like, you know, for the crowd to be as hyped for both of you as they were, of just invested in both of you, like, I literally got chills. Like, it felt very special, like, because you don't see things like that happen every day. We can literally count on one hand every time something like this happened and not use all the fingers. Like, literally not use all the fingers. And so I think that was absolutely insane. And so you have this belt, which it kind of felt like it was made for you. It was purple. And I don't know why. When it came out, I was like, guys, this really feels like a very Willow-coated belt. I don't know if it was done purposefully.
I know, there's a very documented history of how much I love purple, my purple hair, my purple gear, and everything.
I have a question about that later. let's put a pin in that. But, you know, you have this, and so you're on this ride afterwards. So you're going to Forbidden Door. You are one of the only women on the card. And then you go to the Independence Day shows over in Japan, and you're received very well. And you know, in Korakuen, you know, even though you dropped the title, like, it's just such an insane run. And then, you know, you come back, you win the Owens Hart tournament, and then you find out you're in the main event of Death Before Dishonor. What did that feel like? Because you go from being unsigned to saying like, oh yeah, you're going to main event two pay-per-views, and like you're headlining with what I would say the two best women wrestlers in the world today.
Yeah. So the winning like the Owen was also a really cool full circle moment, because the very first match I had on like AEW television, because I had done Dark a bunch, but the very first television match I had was against Red Velvet in a Owen Hart Cup qualifying match for like a Rampage the year before. And so that was really my first exposure to the AEW crowd who's only tuned in on TV. For me to then be in the next tournament and win it all, it was like, something's working. And then there is the pressure of the main events. And like very similarly to how I felt when I had that match with Mercedes is how I felt when I had that match with Athena. In the sense of like, these are really stacked cards. And there is this moment that you have where you're like, all right, I have to go all out. I have to be able to deliver. Am I capable of providing a main event worthy match? And in both cases, I feel like we pulled it off. So, little pat on the back to myself for that.
Yeah, you really should. Yeah.
But I think it's especially crazy to think about, because when I was a kid, I remember like it was very much like the Divas at the time. I don't think they didn't have like the Diva belt when I first started watching wrestling, but like it was very much like women were on the cover of Playboy, which I think is very cool, by the way. Like Maria Kanellis is somebody who I still
love her. Feel
very close to. I love her. I think like when her kids are older and they find out their mom was on Playboy, like iconic.
Really?
So this is not me like talking down on that era or anything, because without it, I would have never been inspired to be a wrestler by them and like all the guys of that time, you know, I appreciate it, but I never saw myself in that, like being that person. So to kind of be in this generation and setting new markers of what's possible. And I know that there are kids watch. I have like in this room, I'm sure there are like pieces of artwork done, gifts that have been given to me from like very young fans, like girls 12 and under who appreciate me. And they're like, you're my favorite. And their parents are like, every time they see you, their face lights up. They like run from the other room to see you. And so I carry the weight of that as well. Like talking about championships, I carry the weight of like these girls and how much they believe in me. And instead of being bogged down by it, I'm very fortunate that all the work and training I've done leading up to those moments has helped me rise to the occasion for myself and everyone else.
Yeah. And you know, that Willow Pop is very special. Like live shows, like, you know, people get up, they start dancing, and it's all so very organic. Like, you know, it's not like it's like a coordinated dance that you lead or anything. Like, people just want to get up, they want to smile, they want to move. And I think that truly, and it goes back to like what you said about what Zack Sabre Jr. said to you about you as a baby face. Like, I truly believe you are one of the purest baby faces that we've ever seen. Like, probably for me, since NXT Bayley, probably, just as far as like that pure, like just crowd, like connection. And honestly, it's so different because you're such a different type of wrestler. Like being a powerhouse while still being this pure baby face is such like this cool, like, you know, contrast, but you're able to really pull it off and people really love it. And I think that the story that was told last year of you getting misted, but not like fully turning evil, like
my heart's too pure
of being too pure burn, like that's really insane. And so coming to now of like, you know, you're in like this really cool dynamic with Chris Statlander and Stokely Hathaway, which I think probably some of the best stuff on TV, man. Like, it just,
thank you.
You guys work together so well. And like, you know, there's always like this will they, won't they. And now you bring in Mercedes to this division. And so I think it's so interesting now. How do you remain positive? If you remain positive, you know,
I think Willow as a character that everybody sees isn't really too far off of how I am outside of wrestling. And that's really been like the heart of what I've done for like 9 years. And of course I've grown and changed and evolved and all of this stuff, but it all comes down to like my core belief that's like, one, wrestling is something that I love. Not just something that I love, but probably the thing I love most in life. Aside from like people, pets, and things like that. Like, if there's one thing that sums up everything I love about the human experience, it's wrestling. So that's always at the forefront. That's why when I come to the ring, I'm so happy, because like I get to do the thing I love the most. Two, like, violence is a part of human nature. You see it when kids are young, you know, they fight each other. It's, they get physical until they learn, like, hey, you can't behave like that. And so even though there is this like bubbly, happy side to me, like, that's a part of being a human, is aggression and letting out that anger and rage sometime. So I really do try to show the duality of that when I go to the ring. And like working with Chris Statlander and Stokely, I've known since probably 2016, maybe. She's also from Long Island. So when we were running like different shows on the indie circuit, like we would carpool, we'd see each other all the time. Stokely too was somebody who we saw around pretty regularly. So when we started being paired together more and more, we were like, heck yeah, let's do this. Let's have fun. And that really is how it is. You saw the photo shoot we did together, like the JCPenney. Like, that was Stokely's idea, but Statlander and I were like, absolutely, 100%. That's so cool. We're definitely doing it. And it's like, we're really just having so much fun. And I can't wait to see where this goes next. And of course, I can't like undermine like how talented Statlander is, because that's not to say she's not hardworking. But like, naturally, she is so athletic. She puts in so much work to help, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, make the most of, I guess, like, make the most of her athletic genes. She really does capitalize on optimizing. That's the word. she works hard to optimize, like, her natural athletic, her gymnastics background, constantly working on getting better with speaking and how to get, like, she's really funny, like how to get her natural like comedian out that way. So I think she's obviously like a very important person to have on the roster, and she's been around pretty much since the beginning, so I would consider her like a cornerstone of the division.
Absolutely.
And now with Mercedes kind of entering the fold, I have already stated that I think she's like gonna be a game changer. She obviously has changed women wrestling, or had a hand in changing women's wrestling and the perception of it. And coming into our division, which is what, maybe like 4 or 5 years old as a division, and like the direction that we'll go, I think it's all good stuff. I think it's all a good sign. It's for all of us, for everybody in the locker room. So now we're just let it all unfold in front of us and see how it plays out.
I think what's so cool about the story that you all are telling right now is, especially even like the dynamic between you, Stokely, and Chris, it feels very organic. Like, you can tell you all are having fun. And I'm a firm believer that wrestlers tend to do their best work when they're all in and excited about what they're doing. And like, you can tell, like, that JCPenney photo shoot is the funniest shit. Like, it's so funny, and everybody sells it so well. Like, everybody is, like, all in. And I think, like, it's just so, it's passionate work. And I even, like, the stuff with Mercedes, like, her being able to come right in to a story that feels real. Like, you know, that feels just very authentic of, you know, between now and resurgence, it feels like, you know, this is very like, it's very timely, it's very relevant. And so obviously, some way, somehow, whether you're on the same side or you're on opposing sides of the ring, you're going to end up back in the ring together. What are you hoping to show about yourself? And what are you hoping to, like, What are the type of story that you want to tell, like, you know, with her? Because obviously, like you said, she brings more eyes, she brings more prestige to any division that she steps in. So this time around, who is Willow Nightingale whenever she gets in the ring with Mercedes Moné?
Well, I think the last time we faced each other, it was very clearly, we both want to win this championship. This is a first-time encounter, and very potentially the only time we would have an encounter at that point. That's kind of how we saw it. Now, the tone has definitely shifted due to the injury, due to the fact that she's sticking around. This isn't like a one-off kind of thing. And now we have to kind of figure out how we fit into each other's lives. I'm still not really sure where she stands with me. You know, I don't feel great about how things ended the last time we wrestled each other. But I do still think very highly of her, obviously. And I hope she can see that my intentions are good. I hope she can see that I appreciate her. And I think she's a great wrestler, but I'm also a great wrestler. So I do believe that about myself.
I said on Twitter, I said, I love confident Willow. Like, I love whenever, you know, because I feel like that's also been a really cool part of your story progression of just like, there was a lot of uncertainty at first, you know, of just like, am I good enough? And I feel like the Athena feud really kind of brought that out of you, right?
Yeah.
Like, really growing in that confidence to where, like, you know, more so now, it's just like, yes, I respect you, but I also respect myself too. And I think that you're great, but I also think that I'm kind of great too. And it's really cool to see you like progress and like, you know, become more confident in your abilities. Like, you know, I feel like that's a part of, you know, the storytelling as well.
Yeah. I mean, I already spoke to you about Resurgence last year, how immediately I kind of had this like self-doubt where I was wondering if I would crumble under the pressure. But at this point, like you said, I've had the two pay-per-view main events. I've main evented, you know, television shows before. I just went into a street fight last week with the confidence that I already have two under my belt. And unfortunately, we didn't walk away with the win this time. But even in defeat, I felt like this sense of pride in that, like, you know what? We gave it our all. We left all we could out there. You know, people saw what we put ourselves through. And I have experience and like to back up what I'm feeling. In the past, I could say, well, I think I could be a really good champion. And like, I know I could do this and I could do this, but we all know for a fact now that I have done it.
Yeah. And you know, I'm really glad that you mentioned the street fights, because you are now the woman in AEW history with the most street fights. You've done it most. You probably shed more blood or caused more blood than just about any woman on the roster now. And I think, like, even the street fights, like, you know, you continue to evolve. And I think that's, like we were talking earlier, the cool part of your character of managing between positivity and really loving violence. And so... What have those experiences been like? Because I think that is one thing that I feel like that has been a staple for AEW of just like, you know, I feel like there's some things that make promotions stand out. And I feel like those women's street fights are like that, one of those things to where it's just like, this is one thing that you can get here that you can't get anywhere else. And they're going to go out and they're going to kill it every single time. And obviously the most recent one was just, you know, adding to the legacy of these street fights. And so what does it mean to you to be a part of them? And what do you go in thinking about when you know, when you're participating?
I mean, so for me personally, I was a big fan of deathmatch wrestling before I started wrestling. And so I'm very aware that there are women like Lufisto, Mickey Knuckles. Nowadays, we have women like, we see Allie Catch, Sawyer Reck, all these girls on the indies, Masha Slamovich. And there are so many more that like really are doing like insane, like mind-bending things and excelling at that. So I, first of all, want to absolutely give all of the women in the deathmatch scene their kudos, because that's bananas. But obviously, in AEW, we still are out there wanting to get physical. I won't even say, like, we're just put in the position to get physical. Like, every time a street fight is announced and we realize, like, oh, this is really happening, like, we want to go out there and go crazy, go balls to the wall, and deliver. Because the precedent's already been set. The first street fight, the first, what was it, lights out match?
Yeah.
Britain Thunder Rosa. Like, the precedent's been set that, like, we will get hardcore. And I think there is something extremely funny about the most wholesome, bubbliest, like, smiley me. Oh, she has the most experiences in this. But, you know, in true AEW fashion, at the end of the day, it's about what goes on in the ring. So I love it. I think it's great. I'm pretty confident we're going to have more of it in the future because we love it and the audience loves it. Why stop?
Yeah, they're always big fan favorites. And, I feel like the progression of this division in just the past 8 months alone has been insane. You can see the progress, but obviously there's so much more work to do. And so as a division, what are some of those milestones that you think that the division hasn't done yet that you'd like to, you know, do? I know a lot of people have been clamoring for a women's Blood and Guts or, you know, a women's Continental Classic. What are some of those things that you would like the division to be in a position to be able to do in the near future?
So there's like a lot of things that come to mind. What you mentioned was really like having a Blood and Guts is definitely on there, especially going with what we were just speaking about. I do love the idea of having our own Continental Classic, but kind of branching off of that, I am not sure how many other women on our roster aside from myself have had the opportunity to wrestle internationally and represent AEW. I think, like, I know Toni Storm had done a few things with New Japan in terms of, like, being with Juice over there. But from a wrestling perspective, I may have been the only so far representing AEW to wrestle for New Japan. And this coming week, I'm also going to be representing AEW over at CMLL. So I'm really grateful for these opportunities. I'm excited about them, and I hope I can continue to do so in the future. But I know we've had some girls from Stardom come over recently. I think when there are moments where maybe someone on the roster isn't on TV every single week or they're not directly tied into a storyline, it would be really cool to see some girls go over to Stardom for a few weeks, get to train there. Because even if you're not training there, just doing the matches and, like, working with all these other international wrestlers, you think about wrestling a different way. Mm-hmm. You adapt to, like, a different audience, and you kind of understand more about yourself. Because the way I think when I go and I do all these different things is, like, how do I make this audience believe that I have a value outside of what is already going on here? Like, what do I bring as an American? How do I also blend into what's going on without disrupting the flow too much? But how do I also give them the personal Willow Nightingale experience? How do I show them me? And I think you learn a lot about yourself through doing that. And there's so many girls on the roster who could do the same. So more like sending our girls over other places and learning more about themselves would be very cool. And tag team championship would also be really awesome to have.
Yes, I feel like you and Stat have just been so good. I've been sold on women's tag belts. Like, just,
yeah.
And I think, like, you know, there's been some really great teams, like, you know, that have, like, you know, some have come and gone, and, like, there's some, like, who are still around. Like, I can easily see, like, you know, Ty and Anna teaming up again whenever Ty's back from, you know, maternity leave. You know, there's a lot of different, like, you know, some really great teams. And I think there's also some really great potential to, like, you know, create some new stuff, like, you know, just because, like, the division is so big now, you know, there's so many combinations, both matches and teams that haven't been explored. Like, just, you know, the world is your oyster. The world is literally your oyster. But I'm so glad that you brought up the CMLL and Stardom stuff, just because I think that that is one of the biggest assets of AEW, of being this international organization that moves in both directions, of having people come in, of having people go out. And you have been one of those people who've been able to go. Like, you've done a tour of TJPW with Tokyo Joshi Pro. You know, recently, you know, you did, you went to, you know, New Japan and got to do some shows there, both stateside and in Japan. And like, as a fan, going to Japan was a life-changing experience. So I can only imagine what it's like for a wrestler. What is that like? What do you think is, what's the difference? Because I think, you know, as the AEW audience expands, a lot of people might not be as familiar, you know, with Japanese wrestling and why it's so important, specifically to women's wrestling. So what do you think is that big difference, and why is it so fruitful to, you know, get those experiences?
I mean, specifically speaking about Japan, a lot of my personal influences and role models came from there. When we think of, like, Bull Nakano, Aja Kong, even Awesome Kong, Karma, absolutely, whatever name you know her as, she really came into her own from going over there. And her and Aja were looking at biracial Black women who are not the conventional body type that you see in wrestling. Like, that hits home for me. Like, when the time came where I was like, can I be a wrestler? Will I sign up? Like, that really stuck in my head and, like, helped me believe that it was possible. You know, Akira Hokuto, when I broke my neck, like, years ago, and I wasn't sure, like, if I could even, if it would be worth it for me to get back to wrestling, like, would I be able to have a successful career after? You know, I have friends personally who I've seen overcome those injuries. But, like, her story in particular, that's why I do the gut-wrench powerbomb as my finish. I know a lot of people are like, oh, it's the Dr. Bomb, like Steve Williams, like, absolutely, so cool. So Oklahoma Stampede I do, too, for him, but, like, Dr. Bomb is actually, like, the dangerous queen bomb, please.
Oh, that's so sick, man. I love that.
And so, like, to be able to see a culture where for, like, 30 years now, women's wrestling has been wrestling at the forefront, that speaks volumes about how we got to where we are now versus in the past, maybe, like, 20 years ago when I was a kid watching wrestling, like, women wrestlers did wrestle and they were great at it, but they weren't really given the platform to have the wrestling itself be the forefront. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So going into a culture like that, I was just like, I just got to show up and do the thing I love. And luckily I was met with a lot of appreciation.
Absolutely. And so, you know, you have Stardom coming up, you have CMLL coming up, but like that match has already been announced, but you have Stardom coming up. It's not quite sure what you're going to be doing yet. That's going to be Mania weekend. So, and you know, I'm glad that you mentioned your legends as well that you're huge fans of. I'm huge fans of those people as well. And, you know, AEW has been known to, like, bring in a lot of legends. I think of, like, Bryan Danielson has his own personal Puro World Tour happening on Collision. And so I'm going to ask you two questions. So for... who are some of the legends, you know, female wrestling legends that you would love to see AEW bring in, whether it's one-offs? And for Stardom, who are some of the women that you would love to face, you know, of this current era?
As far as bringing legends in, I know Aja Kong had kind of been a part of AEW's inception. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be really awesome to loop her back in. I think that could be really amazing. As far as who is at Stardom right now, I mean, we just had Mina come in, and she had a really awesome match with Anna Jay. That was on Ring of Honor, so if you haven't checked that out, please do. Because also, Anna Jay is, like, killing it right now. I'm really proud of her. Yes. So... I think somebody who matches my level of, like, flair and, like, brings that, like, happy bubbliness, but she's got this, like, really quick, fast pace. I mean, a lot of the girls do have a quick pace, like, athletic style. They even have a championship dedicated to just that. I don't know that that's necessarily where I would fit in. I also, when I went over for those Independence Day shows, I had a tag match versus Julia and Thekla, And Thekla is someone I would really love to have a singles match with based on the encounter we had there. So just off the top of my mind, those are people who I'm thinking of. I know Megan Bain was just over there and I think grew so much as a performer, but even like coming back from her knee injury was really, really good. And to get even better is like saying so much. So it is exciting to see how she kind of gets back into the fold over here in the States and what she's been doing at different indies, and whatever's next for her is something I've been keeping an eye on since she came back from stardom. So we'll see what I'm doing next week.
Yeah, I think I'm so excited for that show. And I think so many people are. And going back to my final question, I said I was going to bring up the purple. Okay. As a point of personal privilege, I would like to know how you maintain your curl pattern after changing your hair color so much, because I would like to know how.
It has been through lots of trust in my hairstylists. Because even now, like, age is also a factor. But I think I dyed my hair, I like bleached it and turned it purple, like during the pandemic region. So maybe like 4 years ago is really when I started bleaching my hair. And we used like a low developer as to like not fry it immediately right off the bat. But I did start to notice my hair wasn't as like thick as it was. And it's still not really as thick as it was. But definitely using like deep conditioners regularly. Like, I don't even know that I use regular conditioner in my hair, because like I wash it once a week. And when I do wash it, I'm using a deep conditioner. But I think when I was like 23, I was looking at pictures of my hair there, and it was like, it was actually so big. And I was like, oh, to be young. So I don't know. I love the curls. But I don't know. I don't know what the next step for me is. Doing this little platinum bit in the front is really, it's not the healthiest thing for my hair.
Wow.
I'm on the side of a truck with my hair like this. So I'm like, oh, I got to stick with it.
Yeah, that kind of scares me, because I was like, you know, I think I want the platinum money patch. But like, you know, it's always nice to ask people before you try to do things, because I try to do things myself sometimes. And I have some hair color nightmare stories.
Yeah, so. I the first time I had purple hair, like entirely, I was 19 years old. We bleached it at home, and I ended up having to cut all my hair off. I had a pixie cut because it was not good. But this time I've learned my lesson. I'm like, no, I have to go to a salon.
You know, I feel like we all have a bleach chop rite of passage. I feel like it's a rite of passage to get to where we need to go. But thank you so much, Willow, for this interview. I'm so excited. I'm so glad that we got to talk. I'm so excited for your upcoming matches too. Like CMLL, you have Stardom, you have AEW, so many fun things. For those of you who want to keep up with this show, you can follow me at Lyric Wrestling on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe at just my first and last name, at Lyric Swinton. This will also go up on bodyslam.net, where myself and Danny Livingston host the Dynamite After Show, which is the Dynamite book, every Wednesday after Dynamite, obviously. Where can we find you? Anything you want to plug?
You can find me on Twitter, which it will always be Twitter to me, and yep. Instagram at Willow Wrestles. And other than that, I don't really use my TikTok. I have one under the same name, but I'm usually just scrolling, laughing at other people. And hopefully I will have maybe some new projects coming up outside of just wrestling. But keep an eye on my social media to find out.
Super exciting stuff. And yes, I don't know how to use TikTok. I'm the worst Gen Z-er ever for that, but you know, it happens. But once again, thank you everybody for tuning in, and happy Women's History Month. We will talk to you soon. Bye.